And then you went to YU.
Yeah.
Then you were redeemed.
It's funny, my father told me, he said, you know, while you, everything's all together, I believe you have to go to Calcutta at night and here and there.
All right, then you were redeemed. All right, then, good. At least you'll understand me well. Ah, hi, Mazal Tov, Mazal Tov. I have another package for a small pack and time. I'm working on a new book, which consumes time, too, in addition to everything else. So I have to work slowly, and age takes... It takes its toll, but thank God we're here to talk about it. I dedicate let's wait, give another minute, and we roll. So one second, I saw you I saw you on Thursday. You were away for the Chag and everything, but Thursday I saw you, and you look wild.
You're allowed to shave for Shabbos. Thursday night after Shkia?
You could make a case, I don't know, look and see if anyone talks about it. You could make a case, why not? L'Kovet Shabbos already?
L'Kovet Shabbos, everyone says you can't. But what does L'Kovet Shabbos mean?
I understand. No, but you see in Chazal, they used to shave on Thursday, the L'Kovet Shabbos. You see, with the Anshei Mishma, the Anshei Mamad, so can make a case, but I'll shave Friday. I would like to take a haircut, but I imagine it would be a mob scene. I look.
I have a barber.
Barber
wants to do it Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday night. He says.
She says.
Thursday. Kolamat Tomalach Hasara Shma B'Kolad. That's what.
First we got married. I went to the barber, came home with a haircut. I got screamed out. What kind of haircut did you get?
They take over. A smart man knows that after he marries, he makes no decisions. He decides whether to drop an atom bomb or a hydrogen bomb, but outside of that, leave your wife. Do it. And I've taught my grandchildren that, and they're all happily married. I have to say, they all repeat, they're happily married. Well, let her make the decisions. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Today is May 8th, 2017. It's Monday morning. We have shiur this week. We have shiur next week. Next week is normal. They tell me their classes here are Lag BaOmer. I hope I'll have students. That's all I can say. I will not give shiur again on Yom Zikaron. I apologize to all the people that had difficulty coming here. I have a feeling the week after next, there'll be no class for obvious reasons. The President of the United States will lock us in, plain and simple. Okay. I mentioned yesterday, it's very upsetting. Again, you don't know Josh. Did you know Josh Hoffman from Yeshiva? He passed away. A Yirat Tzadik. You have no idea. In a very difficult life. I think he had diabetes. He lost a leg. He wasn't married. No children. And Libo Choshka B'Torah. He yet studied with the Rav. He helped me. He was in the Rav's last shiur that the Rav ever gave, Hanukkah 1985. He told me what the shiur was about. He described it to me. And then he became very close to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. But Azah Edela Neshama, you have no idea. My heart breaks, but all right, this is life. All these people that claim, I get so angry that we have tragedies. Women, the man ran away, the woman can't get a get. The halacha can't allow tragedies. If we're not going to have tragedies, we're not going to be human beings. Life itself has tragic aspects. Do I have to explain it to you? How many of you here have both your parents? I just think for a minute. How many of you here, people here, have lost wives sitting in this room? I know at least two people. Well, life has tragedies. What are we going to do? Not live as humans? The Torah was given for human existence, but there are tragedies. We have to overcome them.
Human-made tragedies. God-given
tragedies. Yeah, so, Yitzchak, I gave you enough credit yesterday that you should go B'derech HaTorah today. Human-made tragedies, the solutions. Makinotan Shom Merotzani. I beat the hell out of him. Rabbi Akiva came to Warsaw. You know the story. They brought this... Masarei v'get to him. So he said to him, it says in the Mishnah, he'isha konet atzmo, o beget o mitat habal. No mitaget o the bal vet shtapen. Du vest nisht geben a get time, morgen shtap there. He gave a get. That's the famous story. You understand? Yeah. So then there's a liberalism. How do you beat a man to give a get? The Gemara says you beat him to give a get. The Rambam paskens that way. Hilchot Gei Rishon, the famous Rambam. Why? What it means? But so no. Fabulous Rambam. Well, in Israel they do it, thank God. They throw the guy into jail. They throw the guy into solitary. First they take away all his rights, his bank account, his visa, his passport. He can't leave the country. A Jew can't leave Israel. It's a tragedy, you understand? He has to go to North Korea, visit. I mean, people go to Vietnam, fought me a guy in Vietnam, but all right. All right, but let's get back here. We have a very important shiur today and a lot of information that perhaps no one else in the world can relate to, but let me tell it as it is. You see, in 56, when you say you can't have a mixed board of rabbis, so for the sake of argument, here's a gentleman who's president of Temple Emanuel, here's a gentleman who's president of B'nai Yeshur and conservative, here's a gentleman president of Jewish Center, Orthodox. These are balabatim. There's no, all right, what are we saying? All Jews are one. We all have the same destiny. We all have the same fate. 66 was very different. Number one, the right wing is becoming more powerful. This is not America of the 30s. This is not America of the 20s. This is not America of the 40s. Excuse me. This is America where miracles have happened. Lakewood has caught on. Whoever dreamt Lakewood would last more than a few years. But it's not only Lakewood. Chassidic courts in America. All right, Lubavitch, Satmar, Bavov. These are Chassidic American courts. I'm not already quoting Druzhna, the Biana, the Meshbitzer. They were minor compared to these three major names I mentioned. And now you're honoring three rabbis, the images of Orthodox conservative reform. Wow. Now you're making a statement. Nelson Glick is equal to Shmuel Belkin? Shmuel Belkin is equal to Louis Finkelstein? You understand? This is a very powerful statement. And there was this outcry against the yeshiva, against Rabbi Belkin. And as I showed you, the Rashi Yeshiva, four very famous Rashi Yeshiva, published that public letter against Rabbi Belkin, written, as we now know from the articles I quoted to you, it was written and formulated by Reb Yitzchak Kuttner. After the event, the Ichud HaRabbanim, which essentially with Torah V'Das Chaim Balin, perhaps a few RJ graduates, castigating the yeshiva. What an outcry. Now, Dr. Belkin's speech, which I read to you last week, is a classic statement explaining Rabbi Belkin's view, but I am positive, and Yitzchak agrees with me, and anyone who knew the Rav, you can see the Rav's fingerprints. It's exactly the Rav's thinking, the Rav's language, to a T. And of course, this is the quandary which we suffer with until today. We don't have a black and white solution. Rakefet, I'm the last person in the world who wants to walk with a reforming conservative rabbi that we're equals. To me, a rav has to be a tzaddik yesod olam. There are many Orthodox rabbis that I would prefer not to walk with as well. Take my word for it. Some of those Orthodox rabbis write for Bamishpacha, but they are so distant from Yiddishkeit like we are from the moon. On the other hand, we're all Jews. The Rav is right. Hitler didn't say to you, did you put on tefillin or didn't put on tefillin? He killed everyone. And by the way, there are many stories. Either you lost your faith in the Holocaust or you gained it. There were Balei Tshuva who died with Shmar on their lips, who learned how to say Shema in the concentration camps. So you see, it's a very delicate issue. Very hard to give a black and white answer. I suffer with it. I suffer with it until today. And the Rav formulated Klapei Chutz, Klapei Pnim, but this is a difficult formulation because when all is said and done, if you join one group and sit with rabbis Finkelstein and Gluck, you are saying pluralism. You have your choice. I told you I once did the OU a favor and I represented, it was a convention here of all the World Assembly of Jews, whatever they call it, the Jewish Agency. And I'll never forget that Shabbat as long as I live. I still suffer from it. Remember what I told you? It was November in the Hyatt Hotel, the hotel out in French Hill, beautiful hotel. And I find a minion there. Minion from the shul, mainly Sephardic. I daven, I'm finished davening at face 5:45. Supper is 7:00. So I sit in outside my room where there's light in the hallway. I'm learning Gemara. And, all right, I have what to do. Then Malk and I are going down to the dining room, and 300 Jews are finishing the prayer service with the Reformed Rabbi. And they're lighting Shabbos candles two and a half hours after Shabbat began. Lighting Shabbos candles with a benediction in Hebrew and then in English. I mean, how do you relate to that? And I found it very interesting. There were a few Shabbos people in the crowd from Atlanta, Georgia, Balei Tshuva, and they had no problem with it. They explained to me, these people don't know. We have to teach them. We have to encourage them. We have to be makar of them. And where do you draw the line? I mean, I can't give you an answer. It's very individualistic. I'm caught in the middle. I suffer. But you see, YU was under attack. In 56, when the 11 Rosh Yeshiva, including YU Rosh Yeshiva, Reb David Lifshitz, Reb Mendel Zaks, they were there in your time, right, Charlie? You know the names of it. You know Reb Mendel Zaks was there. Of his Chaim son-in-law. I was in his house. I knew his sons. Oh, I knew his grandson. No, his youngest son. He had a younger son that was born, I think, in America yet. Younger than I am, or maybe was a baby when he came to America. I knew the family. Reb Mendel Zaks, Reb David Lifshitz. Who didn't know Reb David Lifshitz? Oh, you don't know who Reb David was. What a Jew, what a Jew. I told you with my brother. My brother was a Talmud of Reb David Lifshitz. My brother was Reb Heshi Shachtas for many, many years. So Reb David always pressed my brother. You have to be like your older brother. You have to learn. You have to be a Rav. My brother had a good head, was a smart kid. And the day my brother tells him he's going to Einstein, my brother never graduated college. Einstein was just beginning, and they wanted to get good students. So Einstein announced, if you have 3 years of college and a face a cum laude and above the average, we'll take you into Einstein. So my brother is a butcher. He's a graduate of Einstein. He did so much surgery over the years with eyes. And he's a butcher. He never got a bachelor's. He went to vocational school to learn how to handle lives. You follow me? All right, with all due respect to my brother. So Reb David says to him, word of honor, I mean, remember, like, comes home, he says, you know what the Rosh Yeshiva said to me? From now on, you have to be very serious with your studies. If you make a mistake in prosecuting a shayla, was can sein? So mevetesim from a tefel and ain't a ben yoyim. It's not the end of the world. But if you make a mistake in medicine, that is the end of the world. That was Reb David Lifshitz. No, they signed on to the cherem. Now, 10 years later, Rabbi Belkin is under attack. And this time, the yeshiva feels it. Because, as I said 5 minutes ago, Nelson Gluck and Louis Finkelstein, to a lesser degree, he was a Shomer Shabbos, but Nelson Gluck, Rabbi Belkin is holding his hand, speaking, yeshiva was under attack. More than that, you have to understand, the right wing is starting to have influence in America. What does influence mean? Hakesef ya'aneh et hakol. Money speaks. Right or wrong? Hakesef can talk. but he doesn't speak. There's a big difference. Money speaks to us. Until the 1960s, the Baal HaBos gave money. He was a Shomer Shabbos. He wasn't a Shomer Shabbos. He was half a Shomer Shabbos. They gave him honor. They gave him cover. Baal HaBatnim didn't speak up. Whatever the rabbi said went. Mr. Gottesman and Mr. Official and Mr. Lamport never questioned my cousin Rabbi Revel Sitkit whether he's wearing tzitzit or not. Rabbi Revel used to feel that there's famous stories. He'd huck a student like this to see if he was wearing tzitzit. These stories circulated in my time in the yeshiva, so they have to be true. They didn't feel whether he's wearing tzitzit. By the 1960s, late 60s, you already had Baal HaBatnim who said to the yeshiva, said to Rav Shmuel Belkin, I can't give money to an institution that the president stands hand in hand with Nelson Glick. This was Chazak Treif. And they're now Baal HaBatnim. You have to understand, Rav Aaron Cutler's gestalt, his charisma, caught up Baal HaBatnim. You can go one by one. I always say, I'll give you two names, Erwin Bunin and Sam Feuerstein. Both of these individuals worship two gods. They worship the Rav, and they worship Rav Aaron Cutler. Yeah, and with Mr. Bunim, ultimately, was more Rav Aaron Cutler than the Rav. With Sam Feuerstein, the Rav was more than Rav Aaron Cutler. But the worship was there. And yeshiva was under attack. And within, they felt it. Not just students, hotheads, extremists, use whatever term you want, swing to the right. No, they felt it financially as well. The writing was on the wall. So they came up with an idea, and this has to be public relations. I would imagine Sam Hartstein, again, the story of public relations at NYU today, I think the department is set it up by a non-Jew, and it's just public relations. You know, how do you keep an institution in the New York Times favorably? But Sam Hartstein was one of three brothers, I believe. If I'm wrong, it's a fourth brother, but I believe there were three brothers, all yeshiva college graduates, all committed Jews. One of his brothers was dean of the yeshiva college. Sam Hartstein founded public relations. Another brother was a rav in Manhattan. I believe his name was Abraham. You can check it out. There were three different brothers. I write about Sam, but I write more about his brother who was dean of the college in the 30s. Later, he's the president of Kingsborough Community College, if I'm not mistaken. These were fabulous individuals who cared about yeshiva. I'm only guessing that public relations came up with the idea, we will make a Sudat Mitzvah in honor of Reb Shmuel Belkin, who's under such heavy attack, and honor him for all he's done for Torah, for the yeshiva, for the Rosh Yeshiva, the Chesed, the Kollel he built for the Shanghai survivors who couldn't find Panasa right away, the Litvishe Talmidei Chachamim, who he hired, the majority of the faculty of Yeshiva College, of Reitz, what you call Reitz today, the majority of the faculty of BTA, of MTA, many Shanghai survivors. One by one, Rabbi Yogel, Rabbi Epstein, BTA, famous names, Rabbi Fishman, Rabbi Yankelevich, Uptown, famous names. No end to what he did. We will say thank you to him. In order to establish his credentials, the idea was that the leading Litvisha limelights in the yeshiva will say thank you as well. And here I have to tell you, in a Shemaim Zikuni, a Talmud listening, this is a copy of the original letter I got inviting me to the Sudat Hokara, we'll call it, in honor of Rabbi Belkin. This is a Xerox copy, or whatever they call this, primitive out of the 1960s. I had this in my files. I struggled unbelievably to read it. I write out the entire letter, and I was just sent, here's a copy of the original letter. Okay? And here's the letter. Tet Kislev Kashkaz. Kvod Gonei Rashi Yeshiva. Shalom Uvracha. I have a feeling, Yitzchak, look at the Shalom Uvracha. I have a feeling the Rav wrote that. Okay? That's my feeling. It's a handwriting of a left-handed person. It looks like the Rav's handwriting. Al dat chaverenu Rashi Yeshiva Rabotecha. Anu mazminim et kvod malad torato lishtatef b'mesibat chaverim. And it gives the date, Hanukkah, 1230, in the Ulam ha'orchim shel aliyat lishkat hanasi, in the, I don't know how to say it in English, Ulam ha'orchim, the vestibule, or the reception room, right next to the president's office, lechvod yedidenu hanaratz. Hagon malatu kvodo hamrab Reb Shmuel Belkin Shlita Nisi habayet hagadol hazeh Bayet shemegadlim bo Torah v'yira Behistam zutzu. At this occasion, Nivatel, we will express to Hagon Reb Shmuel Shlita as hagut libeinu hamalei v'hagadush Rikshei chiba v'ahava hokara v'hakarat tova v'al kol ashei yagav v'tarach asa upa'al l'man habatsa Torah v'hakamad dor shel plamidei chachamim v'yirei Hashem b'medinatenu. Powerful letter, right or wrong. I have a feeling, once again, this is the Nusach of the Rav. I'm positive that that's the Rav Shalom and Bracha. I recognize the handwriting. All right, but this letter, what's important is who signs it. Bekovet Rav, Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. Bekovet Menachem Mendel Yosef Zaks. Handwriting, you can't say that it was forged. Yaakov Moshe HaKohen Lesson, the Mashkiach. And you see, this was like a ditch for all the tanks to fall into, all the criticism. Here, three Gedolei Yisrael, Soloveitchik, Rav Zaks, Rav Lesson, are stating b'fnei am v'eda that Reb Shmuel Belkin is the great Rebbe Gong, guiding light, what he has built, what he has accomplished, what he has done. Stop the attack to new kavod. Ah, you have no idea the rumors that went back and forth. Give you my own take, and again, I was sent a very fascinating document here, which, believe it or not, so many decades later, my chush, my guess, my intuitive understanding back in 66 was absolutely correct.
Who was the letter sent to?
Well, Yeshiva University, this letter went out to all the Rosh Yeshiva, to all the faculty. But the publicity of what happened went way beyond the yeshiva, as you will see. It was, to use this event, didn't matter if there were 10, 20, 30 people there. That was unimportant. But that the event took place, but more than that, look at the three signatures. Now you think of the right-wing world. The Rav signature, with all due respect to Mori Urebi, who was, even to mention him in the same context with Zakstrap lesson, the Rabbi Shichmol, the Malam, Mikol Ha'am. But the right wing world, you know, the Rav Nebuch, he went, as they told me in Lakewood, I'm quoting word, but Edgar Ken signed the Gadol Hadar. He could have been the Gadol Hadar, but das was at gelernt in the Universität in Berlin, das hat Michal Yekanin. It destroyed his thinking. You can't ask him a question. The man went to college, the man went to university. So the Rav, Vic, your family, you were so close to Rav Aaron. I saw him with my own eyes. I saw how close they were. Oh, wow. So the Rav Yaakov Moshe Cohen Lesson, Yitzchak and I could talk about him for 7 years. What a fabulous individual. Oh, what was for an Oiska Abitam Mensch. Okay, that's the word to use. An Oiska, how do you say that in English? It's impossible. How do you say it in Hebrew? It's impossible. Damu Bad. So Lomitzal Tzel, das Kunzik Mischt. Oiska Abit. What the man, he never lost his temper. He only tried to see good. I told you the story. Rav Volk yelled at him in public on Yom Kippur when Rav Lesson spoke before the Ila that we shouldn't look on our watches while we're davening the Ila. Noch amenut, noch zwei minut shel nitzchiyut. These are his words, Netzach, Yom Kippur. And Rav Volk got up and yelled at him, people are fasting, women are fasting, children are fasting. It was unbelievable. A few months later, Rav Lesson comes over to me, I want to ask a request of you, a favor. And we walk out of the Beis Medrash, and he's looking for a shidduch. Who is he looking for a shidduch for? Rav Volk's daughter. I mean, that little story I just told you, we're different people. This is why I amounted to nothing, I have to be honest with you. I absolutely amounted to nothing. Why? Because I'm a Talmud of Rav Lesson. You're a different human being, plain and simple. I can't elaborate that. And I've given up. I told you more than once we should all become Hasidim. All our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and I write the Hasidim and dress the same and look at the Rebbe. That way the law, most will remain from Baruch Hashem. To be like us, Talmidim of Rav Lesson. But Rav Lesson, no, the world, Rav Lesson, first of all, was suspected of being a Mizrahiite. He had Mizrahiite tendencies. His son-in-law ruined him later, with Chaim Berlin. That's a different story. But he, Rav Lesson, but Rav Menachem Mendel Zaks? Oh, wow. The Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law. And my own feeling was that Rav Menachem Mendel Zaks was caught in the quagmire. He really didn't want to sign. He really didn't want to honor the Rav. He agreed with the other Rashi Yeshiva. He was one of the signatories 10 years earlier. But he was caught in the crossfire. Money, Parnassa, his Talmud, Rav Shmuel Belkin saved his life. He had no Parnassa in America. They opened up, if you know the story of Lakewood, Lakewood did not begin in Lakewood. Where did it begin, Vic? White Plains. Rav Mendel Zaks didn't succeed. He was in Toronto for a while. Rav Shmuel Belkin brought him to YU, gave him a job, the Bochen. Gave him Parnassa, gave him dignity. What could he do? He signed. He had no choice. And I always felt at that time that some of the people involved in honoring Rav Shmuel Belkin, Ba'al Karcham Ya'anu Amen. It wasn't something Lachatkhila, it was a B'diyavet. Well, hold on. Wait, hold on. Let me please. Hold on, Yitzchak, please. Gentlemen, that's what I thought in 66. That's what I thought whenever I reviewed what happened. And here it is. Jacob Sassoon, I thank him for sending me all this. This is from the files of the late Rabbi Shurman. If you recall, his children, his son and daughter-in-law were in class a few months ago, this past winter. And this is from his file, articles he wrote, and this is from the Morgen Journal, And in the article, he got this information from Yeshiva. It's all a press release. And all the Rashi Yeshiva were in favor, were happy, wanted to honor Dr. Belkin. All this talk that he did wrong and that there's opposition to him, absolutely not true. This is what the Mogen Journal published, a public relations release from the yeshiva. Here, in the handwriting of Rav Shurin, Rav Aaron ben Zion Shurin, HaRav Lifshitz Chichish et Kol Zeh, and it goes on, Zesheker. The Rosh Yeshiva were opposed. They were very upset with Dr. Belkin. They didn't want him to go with Nelson Glick and with Finkelstein. This, that they say the Rosh Yeshiva were in favor and encouraged him, and they quote in the article that Dr. Belkin stated that all the Rosh Yeshiva supported me and one after another encouraged me to go. Unity is more important. Rav David Lifshitz tells Rav Shurin, it is absolutely not so. We were opposed, but Dr. Belkin was caught up in a fix, in a situation beyond his control. But we were opposed. Now, this dinner became very important, and this is a picture of the dinner, and YU, tremendous publicity, news, Yeshiva University, Dr. Samuel Belkin, fourth from right on dais in front of Drape, it's describing the picture, president of Yeshiva University, chats with Dr. Joseph B. Soloveitchik, famed Talmudic scholar and one of the three distinguished members of the university's Rabbi Isaac Elkanah Theological Seminary, who served as chairman of a seminary faculty luncheon in Dr. Belkin's honor. Other chairmen were Rabbi Mendel Zaks and Jacob Lessen. Dr. Belkin was honored for his achievements in disseminating the Torah as dean of the seminary and president of the university. He was lauded, too, for helping, quote, raise in America a generation of Torah scholars and devoted Jews, end quote. Obviously, a translation of what the three faculty members, the Rav, wrote in the letter that everyone received. And you see, the publicity release was more important than the actual event. But in reality, Dr. Belkin was caught up in a crossfire. It was not just outside pressure that opposed him, but within the yeshiva too, there was a lingering feeling of Bal Kacha Ya'anu Amen. Charlie, were you in the yeshiva already in 66? When did you arrive to the high school? You left by then. Boy, you're older than I thought. Wow, you're my age already. You left by then. What year did you leave? 62, that's the year I started teaching. No wonder you don't remember Rabbi Rothkopf. You left and I came in September 62. Wow, and then you went to Columbia.
Kol Torah first.
Kol Torah, Yeki, how many years in Kol Torah?
One.
1 year. And then you went to Columbia. Oh, wow. Okay, I'll get it straight ultimately that Rabbi Parnas taught you that I remember. Now, I was asked by the person who sent me the picture, who can I identify here? If you'll all step around, it's hard to, I can identify here. Let me tell you. I can't identify myself. I may be one of the people sitting here with my back. That very well may be me, but it's impossible to tell. In this picture, that's Rabbi Feldblum. Rabbi, do you remember Rabbi Feldblum? That was your Rebbe. That was Rabbi Feldblum. This is Rav Yankelevich. This is Rav Yankelevich here. This may be Rav Michal, that's Rav Michal Katz. That's Rabbi Peretzky. Mm-hmm. He was the assistant bochen in the yeshiva. This is Rabbi Parnas. Do you recognize your Rebbe?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's Rabbi Parnas. I don't know. That's Rabbi Volk. That's for sure. That's Rabbi Steinberg. That's from David Lifshitz. That's Rav Lesson. That has to be Max Extra, the chairman of the board of trustees of Yeshiva. That's the Rav. That's Dr. Belkin. That's Rav Menachem Mendel Zaks. That's Rav Zipperstein. That has to be... that's Rav Zipperstein. That has to be Rav Aaron Schatzkes. No, this is Rav Aaron Schatzkes here. This is Rav Aaron Schatzkes right here. Who is this? I don't know. That may be president of Rabbinic Alumni, because I see he's sitting up front with the Rosh Yeshiva, and he's not one of the Rosh Yeshiva that I recognize. That has to be Rabbi Rum here, Rav Shimon Rum, right here. I wonder if that isn't Rabbi Cohn, but I don't know if he was on the faculty that early. That probably is Rabbi Brandspiegel. Look carefully.
You said that Rabbi
Parnas. That's Rabbi Parnas. No, excuse me. Excuse me. That's Rabbi Parnas. I'm seeing things. That may be Rabbi Cohn. Peretzky. That's Rabbi Michal. I don't know who that is. With the full beard, right? Or maybe it blends in. Who could that be? I don't know. That's Rabbi Volk for sure. Rabbi Honest should be someplace here. I don't see him, but maybe it's covered up. All right, that's when I can identify by looking and trying to relive the era. But this picture was more important to Yeshiva than the public relations, than the entire event. Okay.
Nishkin Frum is there. Only one hat.
Who's wearing a hat? Let's see.
Rav Lessing
is wearing a hat. No, no.
Nishkin Frum is
wearing a hat. No, Rav David is wearing... Rav David is wearing the big hat, the Rabbanisher, the Lichtesher Rabbanisher hat.
It just shows you what was and what is.
Yeah, no. It's a fascinating picture, but the most important part of the picture is Rav Mendel Zaks, the Rav, Rav Lessen, all Rav David Lifshitz is there in the picture. Now, what I'm alluding to here and what you're hearing, yes, this was a tremendous ruckus. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner fought a tremendous battle. It shook the Torah world, shook the YU world. It sets the stage for what gradually is happening, the swing to the right. It also sets the stage for the 1990s when the synagogue council is abolished. And when it is abolished already, there's no great outcry in YU circles. Ugh, a tragedy has happened. Synagogue council, we desperately need it. How dare you abolish it? There is no great outcry whatsoever. The sands are shifting. There's one tremendous question that I'm alluding to. I'm going to come to it, but not yet. I have to finish Rav Hutner. It's one tremendous question, and fascinating to get involved. Look how Torah Vadas changed. Look how Chaim Berlin changed. Torah Vadas, the 30s, the 40s, even into the 50s. Yeah, Drabbanim came out of there. No different than YU people. Some of them wound up Reform rabbis, conservative rabbis. Others wound up big Zionist Mizrahiites, all from Torah Vadas. Chaim Berlin, same story. I had an argument with a fellow who got Smicha from Chaim Berlin in 61, Wernick. And he cursed Yeshiva University, repeated what Rav Lippmann had to say about it. You could understand why Rabban Soloveitchik had to leave at that time. Oh, we fought it out. He went on to become a very prominent conservative rabbi. Par for the course. I'm not saying this happily, but this was the reality. It's interesting with YU, the 50s, the 60s, essentially, YU did not change. 66, this controversy here, you have the first public acknowledgement that the heartbeat of YU has changed ever so slightly. But there's no major shift. Why? Why was YU different? Let that question hang fire. We'll come back to it.
Maybe because of the role.
We'll come back to it in detail. The Rav of Shmuel Belkin, it's a fascinating story, and chaval that no one has written the history of Rav Shmuel Belkin. So sad. I don't know. Again, you know how hard I've tried. There's certain factors that people don't reveal to me. There's something behind the scenes. I can't explain it. I suffer. Because even if someone has a grudge against Rabbi Belkin, but look what the man accomplished. Look what the man did. We're all humans. Everyone, you don't succeed with everyone. There may be people who maledict me. Fine, that's part of life. But look at the overall picture. I know with Rabbi Breville, you wouldn't believe it. When I did my research, I was assigned by Bernie Landed. Landed, this was his Rebbe. Remember I told you I write about it in Washington. He broke down and cried when he assigned the thesis to me. Arnold, I want you to do the best job you can. This was my Rebbe. He has no grandchildren. His children never married. He has no monument. Your thesis will be his monument. Do you know that there were people who maledicted Bernie Lander? How do you assign a doctorate on the Reuter? He was called the Reuter. He had a red beard. They disparagingly. The Reuter. We'll come back to that too. Who was he? What did he do? I wanted a, you know, people have good images of themselves. I wanted a certain appointment. He didn't give it to me. When I got my doctorate, I heard people maledicting me, Revel, and Lander. Like those letters to the editor in Jewish Action that I said, Kahana wasn't all bad. They maledicted Rakefet, Kahana, and Jewish Action. Right or wrong? You saw with your own eyes. You understand? I don't know, but I'm giving information. I lived it. I have a little insight. I'm an honest scholar. I try to be. Maybe someone will listen. Rabbi Belkin deserves a magnificent monument. What that man did, the chesed, the godhood, the vision, the success, the failure. We're only humans. All right. We'll come back to it, but not yet. Back to Rav Yitzchak Kotner. This is Rav Kotner. A man who was constantly growing, changing. The hues and coloration of his personality, of his outlook, was never static. This was Rabbi Kotner. Now, it's fascinating, when you read about Rabbi Kotner, you get so many different descriptions of his Talmidim. Go to Wikipedia and go to the entry on Rav Yitzchak Kotner. And you'll see, talks about his teaching, and I'm quoting from this article, he took great pride in the secular accomplishments of his students. And they give you a list here. Rabbi Yisrael Kirzner, who edited the Pachat Yitzchak, he was an individual who had a PhD was well known in the secular world, and Rabbi Kotler loved him. His own daughter, Rebbetzin Dr. Bruria David, and we're going to come back to this, attained her PhD at Columbia University. She studied under Sala Baron. Sala Baron was maybe one of the leading names in Jewish scholarship in the Salo Baron, I think you pronounce it. Salo Baron. Salas. He was one of the leading names in Jewish scholarship. Rav Hutner, his daughter, was very proud of. Rabbi Shlomo Teichman, the mathematician. Shlomo Bronstein, statistics. Shlomo Ritner, that's part of Miriam, our president, Richard Joel's wife is a Ritner. It's part of her family. Psychology. Moshe Hamnick, psychology. Aaron Soloveitchik, law. Zechariah Dershowitz, Dar Shavtrei, should live and be well. Psychology, tremendous educator. Aaron Lichtenstein, literature. Rashi Shiva. Dr. Abraham Tenenbaum, education. Joseph Thurm, information technology. Naftali Langsman, education. Yedidja Langsman, chemistry, computer science. Charles Fuhrman, education. One of Rav Kutman's Talmidim later becomes the Tzvila Meshbutz Rebbe. Rabbi Yitzchak Aaron Kroff, a law degree, international law, diplomacy. And you read here that he rejoiced in these Talmidim. He took, we mentioned before, Rabbi Avigdor Miller. Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Rav Lessen's son-in-law from Slobodka, he became the Mashgiach Ruchani, and very fascinating individual. All of you know that they sell his books today, his tapes, his recordings, his sikhat, his shayurim, and he's very sharp. You can be entertained by him. You will suffer when he speaks about the state of Israel, his lack of understanding what is happening here, what has happened in that area. I wouldn't recommend him as a load star to follow, but very fascinating. Then later on, just think who Rav Hutter was makariv. Dovan Halevi Weiss, becomes professor at the seminary. He is the leading successor to Professor Shaul Lieberman. You've all heard the name, Magon Adir, a Holocaust survivor. I told you when he came to America and said, Gevalgut, where should he go? What should he do? This was a kid who hadn't opened a Gemara in 4 years, but he had one sheet with him from a Shulchan. It's a whole story. The man was a giant, came to Chaim Berlin. Rav Hutner bought him his first suit in America. It's a beautiful story. He writes about it in his memoir. Halivni Weiss's son was my student right here in the Kollel, Ephraim Halivni. Halivni Weiss lives, if I'm not mistaken, in the Diskin area today. And these were all people he was makariv. A very, very important name that we will come back to, Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach, not the famous singer, minstrel, dancing rabbi, Rebbe Hamerakeh, but his first cousin, Rabbi Shlomo Kalbach, the son of Rabbi Dr. Yosef Kalbach, the Rav of Hamburg, who perished in the Holocaust. He later succeeded, as Mashgiach. He became the Mashgiach of the yeshiva in the 60s already, I believe. Let's see if he gives a date here, but I believe it was in the 60s. He later became the Mashgiach of the yeshiva, a wonderful, wonderful individual, had wonderful shayurim on Chumash, has a very famous daughter, Professor Hadassah Kalbach. We'll talk about it in more detail. And then it goes on to give a list of students. It's overwhelming. Yonasan David, as he's called, his son-in-law, Aaron Schechter, the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin today, Hirsch Diskin, son-in-law of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I believe he was principal of the Beis Yaakov in Baltimore. Your brother succeeded him, am I correct? Okay, that's exactly who we're talking about. Pinchas Stoplo, one of the great lights of the NCSY, was a Talmid of Rav Huta. The famous Rav Shlomo Freifeld, who built the first yeshiva for Balei Tshuva in the United States. Rav Shlomo Freifeld, the Rav Huta's Talmid Mufab. It's my mother-in-law's Talmud, but I can't say. My mother-in-law was his third-grade teacher. But what an individual he went on to be. The Rabbi Yaakov Perlow, the Novominska Rebbe, who today is the president or the head of Agudat Yisrael in the United States. So that list goes on and on. If you go to Yeshivat Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, the entry there, you get an even a more detailed list with Fruchthandler, who is the money person today, and you get a tremendous list, including Talmidim of mine, Shalom Z. Berger, who lives in Israel, studied in the Kollel, got smicha from YU. He too was a Talmud of Chaim Berlin. Rabbi Dr. David Ebner, some of you may know him, involved in Chinuch here, cousin to David Applebaum. They're both named after the same person. He too is a Talmud of Rav Huttner. Rabbi Aaron Feldman, Rosh Yeshiva of Bnei Yisrael today. Rabbi David Hartman, this list already is much more inclusive. Rabbi Simcha Krauss, all right. Rabbi Michael D. Schmidman, Orach Chaim, Dean of Judaic Studies, formerly at Yeshiva University. Rabbi Noda Schiller, and the list goes on and on. Okay, what achievement? What success? Why such controversy? And here you come to the last decade of his life, which may very well be the saddest decade of Rav Huttner's life. The hijacking TWA 1970, we spoke about it. That hijacking shook up the Torah world, and God have mercy if you were the one who was hijacked. That Rav Huttner got out of it alive is a tangible miracle. The king of Jordan, Hussein, had certain good qualities, as we all know, and he really went out of his way to try to protect Rav Huttner, that he shouldn't be harmed. They shot it out, the Jordanians, with the hijackers. It was literally a pitched battle meters away from where the captives were held. Rav Huttner lost Kitvei Yad, that never came back to him. But ultimately, he was saved. I told you, Rav Menachem Parrish rented a jet plane to pick him up, bring him to safety when he was released. And that last decade, he was not happy. He wanted to come back to Israel. Everything I spoke about last night, what I spoke about from the Sri Deyesh, Rav Huttner felt Brooklyn is not Jerusalem, and he has to get back. And he spent that last decade back and forth, back and forth. I would imagine by that time he felt his age, and when you grow older, death is inevitable. Particularly you're running a yeshiva, the yeshiva turns into a one-man show. It's not like Yeshiva University, where you have a board of trustees, where there's no nepotism. Rabbi Lichtenstein became Rabbi Lichtenstein, not because I always get upset when people say he married the Rav's daughter. He married the Rav's daughter as a secondary matter. But he was Rabbi Lichtenstein in his own right. Excuse me?
That's why he married her, because he knows
what he wants. He married her in his shemaim. You don't know what went on. She was going with someone. He was going with someone else. And then the Rav was praying that a miracle happened, Baruch Hashem. But Rabbi Aaron is his own right. You don't leave that. And the Horaya that I'm sitting here and teaching for YU. No one knew that I'm related to Bernard Rebbe. We discovered it a few years ago. By then, it lo malev, lo morid. It doesn't help me. It doesn't detract from me. It's I'm Aaron Rakefet, and it's a different world. But he started to worry about what will be in New York after he's gone, and particularly with this dream of opening up a major institution in Israel. By the way, I checked it out. I met someone on Shabbat whose brother studied in Pachad Yitzchak. And I was right. It's a very small institution. It never really caught on here. It may, a lot of Anglos, but it's not Chaim Berlin of New York. Far from it. My estimation, I mean, because I never can say I'm not on top of the pulse there, but that was the feeling, the tremor I was feeling was correct. So Rav Hutner, in the mid-1970s, officially announced who his successors would be. And he announced, and you can find this in Wikipedia, everyone talks about it, but I wanted something authoritative. He officially announced that Rabbi Aaron Shechter and Rabbi Yonason David would both serve as co-equal Rashi Yeshiva of Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. This was done when the yeshiva moved to its location on Coney Island Avenue in 1966. That's the location the yeshiva has today, in the heart of Flatbush. And Rabbi Hutner declared to all present at the dedication that henceforth Rabbi Shechter and David were shared seats at the front of the main Beit Medrash, with Rabbi Shechter sitting to the front right and Rabbi David to the front left, and with Rabbi Hutner sitting in the center. All right? We can understand this. Rabbi Aaron Shechter, Talmud Mufak, Talmud Chacham, also a product of my mother-in-law, third grade teacher in Toras Chaim. Rabbi Yonason David, big Talmud Chacham, married the Rosh Yeshiva's daughter. So there's also the family claim. And Rabbi Hutner would go back and forth, ultimately. And when he was in America, no question, he sat Abenon in the center. On paper, it sounds good. In reality, it was Rabbi Shechter who became the dominant personality, because Rabbi Yonason David ultimately moves to Israel with Rav Hutner. And as these Talmidim of Pachad Yitzchak explained to me this past Shabbat, which I understood very well, that you can't be in Pachad Yitzchak and expect to create a mentor, a major institution, if you keep on going back and forth to New York. And Rabbi Yonason David, it seems, Sukkot time and Pesach time, he and his wife are in the United States. He's back in Chaim Berlin. She's recruiting students for her institution, post-high school program for Beis Yaakov girls, but a program that is geared to the mentality of American Beis Yaakov girls, not Israeli Beis Yaakov girls. And it's a very, very successful program. But here, a tremendous machloket broke out. When the 70s came, or late 60s, there was another Talmud of Rav Hutner, Shlomo LeKalbach. As we mentioned a minute ago, the cousin to the first Shlomo Kalbach. This Shlomo LeKalbach, product of Rav Hutner, product of Chaim Berlin, very close to the Rosh Yeshiva. And when the announcement was made, it would be Rabbis David and Shechter. His followers felt that he was mistreated. He should be officially announced as the Mashgiach, That would be his permanent position. He would work hand in hand with the future Reshi Yeshiva, but Shlomo Kalbach should not be pushed aside. He already had served as Mashgiach in the 60s, before Rabbi Huttner went to Israel. He had a large following, was very popular, gave sichot on Chumash, on philosophy, Jewish philosophy. Students loved him, loved his teachings. And here he was pushed aside. A tremendous machloket breaks out, a machloket which you can still hear about until today in Chaim Berlin circles. I want to sanitize everything I know and try to explain it, because once you have machloket, you get involved in Shem Hari, you get involved in Rechilat, you get involved in hatred. It's an open Tosfot in Pesachim, if you're familiar with that, a famous Tosfot, where, you're, but if someone's a Machal Shabbos, you're allowed to hate him. But J. Tosfos raises the issue that you're allowed to hate him for only 1 minute. Because the first minute you're hating him, L'shem Shemayim, he's a Machal Shabbos, Ochlein Levelet and Treifat. A minute later, you hate him, so he's angry at you. He's mad at you, why do you hate me? The minute he's angry at you, you no longer hate him just because he's a Machal Shabbos. You dislike him because he dislikes you. So you see, the minute you get involved in machlokes, it's endless. The Mishnah says, "Kol machloka chenu l'shem shemayim sofa lihitkai." It's gonna have terrible repercussions. Why? Because once you get involved, the first minute it's l'shem shemayim, but when min retzich ayin that it's l'shem shemayim, then sofa lihitkayim you'll find another 1,000 reasons for hating the person. This machloket became very big. If I can give you my take on it, and I don't want to tell you I'm absolutely right, but this is my understanding. Rav Shlomo Kalbach was a personality unto himself. He had a large following. Rav Huttner evidently felt that Rav Shechta and his son-in-law could not catch on if Rav Kalbach would be an official in the yeshiva. His power, his influence, his charisma was too great. And it is reported that when he complained to Rav Huttner, Rav Huttner said, and this is quoted until today, so it probably is 90% true, a du vils bleiben, du muss sein an evit kenani zu der Baron Shechta. If you want to remain in Brooklyn and want to remain in the yeshiva, did you know Rav Shlomo Kalbach? Was he there in your time? Am I describing him right? This whatever, I mean, you read, there's so much to it. All the descriptions are very charismatic, learned. He wasn't a gadol hador in shas and paiskim in the sense that Rav Huttner could have been. But in they say in Parshanut Mikra, in philosophy Hashkafa, he was fabulous, and his sichad. So Rav Huttner, you understand, said to him, "I can't have two ein shnei dabarim ledot." To quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you can't have two spokesmen for the generation. You can't have two kings. If you're going to remain, you have to become an Eved Kenani to Rav Aaron Shechta. Yeah, these are very difficult words. You're telling someone, you understand, an Eved Kenani, it means you have no opinion of your own. You can't open your mouth. You can't contest. You can't say. You can't lead. You can't inspire to a certain degree. You have to be an Eved Kenani. Rav Kalbach could not accept that. Tremendous machloket broke out. And here's the issue that everyone tries to avoid. You'll understand why in a second. Rav Kalbach felt it was a breach of contract. He was appointed Mashgiach years earlier. He had served as Mashgiach. He had been successful as Mashgiach. Suddenly, to be sent away, to be treated as an Eved Kanani, he and his followers turned to the Agudas HaRabbanim. Agudas HaRabbanim then was a power. It's not today. Today there's nothing left. But Agudas HaRabbanim had a Beit Din. The Beit Din was headed by Rav Moshe Feinstein. And they sent the Hazmana L'Din to Rav Hutna in the name of the Baron Shechta and his Talmidim. The Hazmana was signed by Rav Moshe Feinstein. No, you get a Hazmana signed by Rav Moshe Feinstein. All of you know halacha. Not allowed to be Masarev a Hazmana. You have to go to Beit Din. The most you can do and say, well, I'm not satisfied with this Beit Din, so they'll give you the alternative of Zabla. You know what I'm saying, right? Zeb, Bore, Lo, Echad. Rav Hutna will pick his Dayan. Rav Kalbach will pick his Dayan. And the two Dayanim will pick a third Dayan. That's Zabla. But Hazmana Lebeit Din L'Sarev, Hazmana Lebeit Din. Gentlemen, Rav Hutna and his people did not accept the Hazmana, did not appear, did not respond. The word went out that the Hazmana does not obligate them. Wow. Moshe Feinstein. Rav Hutna. This issue remains in controversy until this very moment. There are those who say, and the detractors of Rav Hutna, power, fame went to his head. How do you turn down a Hazmana from Rav Moshe Feinstein? But there's another point of view. And I have a feeling that if it's not totally correct, it's certainly partially correct. And here you go back to Rav Hutna's personality. He moved more right wing. Here is a man who studied in Hebron, studied in Israel, was close to Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. Rav Cook introduced him to the world of philosophy, the Pachad Yitzchak, the Maral. And he shifts so over the years that he gives a talk at the Agudat Yisrael convention that's later published in Jewish Observer, where he blames the entire Holocaust on the Zionists. Literally, word by word, the Satmarud's theology. And we spoke about it. I told you more than once, I saw with my own eyes what his first cousin did to that Jewish observer, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yehoshua. My dear students, if you are a devotee of Satma, remember how Rav Hutna spoke about the last of the lions, Satma? Rav Moshe Feinstein was chutz l'tchum by the late mid-60s. One simple reason. He was Mater AID, artificial insemination donor. No other psak of Reb Moshe caused such an outcry, such enmity towards him. Rav Stasak Meruv considered it mamzeret. You know what that means? Rav Moshe was mati mamzeret. Rav Moshe is mazbin Rav Hutna to din Torah. Didn't work. No. It's not the personality that Rav Hutna will bow to. A lot of Rav Hutna's Talmidim, this is whispered until today. I go back to what I heard in Lakewood. Lakewood, when I studied there, early 50s, was just starting to spread its wings. You still had the Europäische, the Kletzka, the Alte Kletzka, but you had already a good groundswell of Americans. Many of them go on to become Rosh Yeshiva all over the United States and Israel, actually. And they used to say, Reb Moshe Matitzich. Remember? Double intender. Reb Moshe is Matir, Yiddish, but Reb Moshe Matitzich, with all these heterim, he's losing out. He's struggling. He's tired. He's missing the proper answer. And I told him, I'll never forget when I'm walking up the Beis Medrash and the dormitory were in one building. When I lived in Lakewood, I believe there were Sacha called two buildings, one that we ate in, one that had the Beis Medrash dorm, the other one also had partial dorm. And on the stairway, a kid is standing there. Standing there on the stairway. I never told you the story, so I say to him, what are you doing on the stairway? Remember, it's Hanukkah. And he says to me, I'm looking out. If the Rosh Yeshiva comes, I have to warn my roommate. I say, well, what do you mean the Rosh Yeshiva's going to... I had one flight up, he had a bedroom there. He says, I said, what do you mean you have to warn your roommate? He's playing, keeping chicky was the expression we used. So I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, my roommate is shaving with a shaver, Samach of Reb Moshe. The Rosh Yeshiva holds shaving with a shaver as an Issa D'Oraita. So if Reb Aaron comes, I have to warn him the Rosh Yeshiva's coming to stop shaving. And I always wondered what he would look like. Imagine half his face shaved and half his face filled with a beard. But you see, Reb Moshe Matetzich, that was the relation. And the feeling towards Reb Moshe was like the Satma Rav. It was not a feeling of admiration, of awe, of inspiration, of hachna'ah, that to Reb Moshe Feinstein, I have to be an Eved Kanani. I was a Rav. I called Reb Moshe regularly. I had my Igrot Moshe. I write down what Reb Moshe told me. I knew him very well. I knew the rabbits and I knew all the children. I was sick in my life. Pardon me for boasting, but what can I do? The Rav used to say, Yehalalucha Zarim Velo Picha. But it is Nishta Zarim to praise you, Picha. So I can tell you, it happened to me once in my life. I spoke in Mansi, and 8 times I was interrupted in my speech with a lady standing up and applauding. And each time she applauded, a lot of other people applauded. Could you tell me who the lady was? Shifra Feinstein Tendler, Zichrona Tzadeket Livracha. Got it? I knew the family. Reb Moshe, I'd crawl on the ground for Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe Feinstein. But if you're a Satma, Reb Moshe Feinstein, has gemate given mam zeidu, das heist arav, es ibibato. This machloket until today. Go to the computer, you will get hundreds of pages of back and forth with, what went on. And it's a very sad story. Because there never was a happy ending. Rav Shlomo Lekarbach had to leave Chaim Berlin. He winds up, he's in his 90s, I believe he's still active, giving lectures, raised wonderful children. His daughter is a very well-known professor of Jewish history. But that machloket, it pales, darkens a certain part of the history of Chaim Berlin.
Where is he?
I believe he's in Brooklyn. Yeah. Where is he? Who do you think he is?
I think
he was check the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Okay, so check it out for us when, because in what I have here, he's alive. He's in his 90s. He's here following. But what I have here may be outdated. Check it out. What? No, check it out. Here you have all the information. Here's all the stories. Now, I want to tell you something else. This is in parentheses in the battles going back and forth and all the people writing in. So one of the names they mention who also studied in Chaim Berlin was Rabbi Moshe Scherer, Rabbi Maris Scherer of Agudat Yisrael, the man who built Agudat Yisrael in America. You have no idea single-handedly what this man accomplished then. The good friend of a guy named Aaron Rakefet. Okay, we were good friends. We saw above our ideological differences, is why I always admire Rabbi Moshe Scherer. He truly was L'shem Shemayim. It wasn't just a political party. So someone mentions in the stories going back and forth, the Machloket, someone mentions the late Rabbi Moshe Scherer, an alumnus of Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin, who rewarded him by putting him on the Moetzet and he gets involved that Rabbi Moshe Scherer put Rav Huttner. What does it tell you?
As of 10 months ago, he was still alive.
Still alive. Yeah, that's what I heard, that he was still alive. Okay, so Vic, check out your sources. But 10 months ago, good. Okay, anyway, so another person writes in that, you don't know what you're talking about. Rabbi Moshe Scherer never went to Chaim Berlin. He went to Torah V'das. So where did Rabbi Moshe Scherer get smicha? Near Yisrael, Baltimore. What I couldn't believe here is the reason they give, and I see I'm not the only one in the world who knows the secrets. And let me read it to you. Rabbi Moshe Maris Scherer is a young Talmud who was under the guidance of Rav Shraga Feigl Mendelovich, who decided to send him to the Near Yisrael Yeshiva in Baltimore to learn with Rav Ruderman. The reason for that move was that Moshe Scherer had an older brother, Harry Scherer, who once was a very popular Rebbe and English teacher in Torah V'das, but something happened that disappointed him, and he eventually became a Reformed rabbi in Las Vegas. For a long time, it was a well-kept secret that the head of Agudat Israel of America had a brother who was a Reformed rabbi. And Rev Mendelovich was afraid that Harry would influence Maris. So they sent the young Maris away to keep him out of the clutches of the dynamic older brother. Wow. So I see I'm not the only one who knew about Moshe Scherer. Let me repeat to you what I write about in Washington, Bididi HaViyuvda. When I went to see Rav Moshe Scherer for the first time, when I had come back from Russia, the summer of 1981. So when I came into the office, he was there with Chatzku Besser, and Rabbi Moshe Scherer says to me, you know, someone makes an appointment with him, an unknown individual. Who is he? What is he? And they checked me out. So Rav Moshe says, Rav Moshe Sherer says to me exactly these words. Rabbi Rakefet, we checked you out, and we know you're a gon, we know you're a tzaddik, we also know you're the last Mizrahi alive. I responded on the spot. My daughter, Taina, my eldest daughter, is with me. She had just graduated Mechalan. I took her to America to be with her grandparents. I think they paid for a ticket. Eldest daughter's with me. And I respond, Rabbi Sherry, you're correct. In your office, I am the last Mizrahiite. But I have to tell you, I go back a long way with your family. I know your brother, Harry. It's my principal in Yeshiva Salanta. And at that moment, his entire demeanor changed. You have no idea. Wow. 2 hours later, when we walk out, this was the old Agudat Yisrael office on 5 Beekman Street. We go out, we're on the streets. What's it, the Lower East Side, Chinatown? And my daughter says, Abba, I can't understand. You walked in, he slapped your face. And you respond, you know his brother. And he became so obsequious and so helpful to you and so appreciative. What happened? So I said, you don't understand. That was cold language. I wanted, yes, he played supercilious, that he's the great Agudist and I'm the lower Mizrachist. I wanted him to know, I know his brother. You don't know what a maneuver that brother is. I believe he's still alive. Must be over 100. I corresponded with him for once. I have no idea. I corresponded to check out every fact. You have no idea what we're talking about. Gentlemen, I'm ashamed to say this. He almost destroyed my life. I was a kid, 12 years old. I was president of the student council. 12, 13 years old. Student council, Yeshiva Salanta. I walk into the office of the principal, and he has, pardon me over for saying this, and he has the president of the Sisterhood of Salanta on his lap. Do I have to say any more? As a kid of 12, 13, first feeling hormones. Sight like that. Shem Yerachem. Don't want to go further. You have no idea what his reputation. He got ordination from Jewish Institute of Religion, the New York branch of Hebrew Union College. Went on to a long rabbinate, Las Vegas, Hollywood, California. Oh, you don't know what the stories were. A balabas of mine, who was in the armament business, a Shema Torah mitzvah from the Mann family. He would travel for the armament industry, had a PhD in physics. Korean War, Vietnam War, made a good living, Vietnam, it's a little later. And every Shabbat where he'd be, he'd see if there's a shul nearby. If not, he would daven in the hotel and walk, if there was a Reform temple, whatever, conservative, just to see what's going on. So he came back from Hollywood and he says to me, Rabbi, you can't believe this Reform rabbi, what the women were talking about on Shabbos. I said, and I heard, I said, I'll give you the name of that Reform rabbi. And he looks at me, Jonah Mann. It's a cousin to the Rabbi Mann who teaches here, his father's cousin. He looks at me and says, what do you mean? How do you know the name? I say, you're talking about Harry Sherer. He says, Rabbi, you're a genius. No wonder you're a genius. I said, there's no other rabbi that could live that type of lifestyle. What you don't know is he performed wedding after wedding for Jew and non-Jew. Torah Vadas graduate. Can you believe it? Yes, this is life. We have no guarantees. You see, kings with tzaddikim had sons rishayim, sons were rishayim, and had sons who were tzaddikim. There are no guarantees in life. It's unbelievable. But that's just a sideshow here.
Wait, now I understand something, if I may interject for a second. When I was a chaplain at the Army in Texas, so I requested a house on post. So I don't have to walk 5 miles.
Right.
Shabbos.
Right.
They told me, well, the other rabbi who was here told me a Das graduate. He used to drive.
Wow.
So not only did he drive, he used to, as soon as Dominic was over, the Shabbos morning, get a car, charge the boys $2 each, and take them to Dallas and give them a lift. But he also charged them.
And charged them on Shabbos. Okay. Doesn't mean Torah Das is not going to have a lift. Please don't misunderstand me. But when someone criticizes some of the yeshiva YU graduates, I say to them, listen, David Hartman was only one quarter hour product. Erwin Greenberg is all his learning. Actually, BTA, he was in the first class at BTA. But afterwards, Novadic, that's where he learns, that's where he gets smicha. So please, we all have problems, but don't overly criticize YU. My dear students, let me summarize. It's a sad topic, and I have to say I give YU all the credit in the world. The Rav died. We miss him. We need him. It's not the same YU. Those of you who watched the Smicha convocation, there was no Rav there. All the talks that were given, put them all together and add them up, don't equal one talk that the Rav would have given at a Smicha convocation. You need depth, you need something to spark the students, to charge, to catch imagination. Not to tell them you're great, you're wonderful, you should keep learning, the Balabatim will not learn if you don't learn. That's not a message. We miss the Rav. With all due respects to your son getting Smicha. We missed the Rav, period. But yeshiva continues. I can yell from today to tomorrow it was better when the Rav spoke at the, so what? 100+ fellas got smicha, 1/3 of them wearing hats, 3/4 of the faculty wearing hats. No one ought to bring heat, they won't have to wear hats. The auditorium should be warm. It's a different world, but the world continues. Chabad, alright, it's sad. The Messianists, but the majority are normal, solid, vibrant. Chaim Berlin, the echoes of that controversy continue until today. If you get hold of Chaim Berlin people, you'll see, they don't like to talk about it. Am I right or wrong, Vic? They don't like to talk about the seer of Tereb Moshe. It's not a small matter. When you look back in retrospect, Reb Moshe is Reb Moshe. Ain't none of your tega domi men. It's a posek mufak. Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach was also Matarei ID. What are we going to do? It's a halachic question. It's a halachic question. You're allowed to take a point of view. But that machloket hurts. And it's indicative of an institution that is not a public trust. When all is said and done, it's not so much family, but the personality of the Rosh Yeshiva, and it's not a public trust. And that machloket to tell Shlomo LeKalbach, you have to be an Eved Kanani, those are strong words. I understand it. But why you, it couldn't happen. In Hasidus, yes, you have to be an Eved Kanani to the Rebbe. But you always have choice. No one forces you to go to Chabad. You can go to Satmar. No one forces you to go to Satmar. You can go to Bavel. The Chassid has plenty of choice. Square, there's no choice. There have been some very bad incidents in New Square, as you know. There, they insist, if you're in that community, you must be with the Rebbe. But in Brooklyn, everything's within walking distance. It's a fascinating question. All right, what do we do today? We're gearing up to finish up Rav Hutner. YU, very interesting, very intriguing 1966. And it shows you the feelings I had as a kid. I mean, how old was I in 66? I can't say I had the insight, la briyut, that I have today. But I had that feeling. Bal kachi ya'aneh amen. I was a kid. Did it matter if Rakefet came to, Rothkopf came to the dinner, didn't come to, come on. Forget it. But I had that feeling. And when that document with Avshurin's handwriting, you saw it in his handwriting, Rav Lifshitz Machish, Kolon Ashi Yeshiva Hayu Keneged, it says something. And Rav Hudna, he was the individual, he was the man. He took on Rabbi Belkin, Professor Belkin, as he referred to him. It's a question that hangs fire. We don't have a black and white answer. I don't think anyone can give a black and white answer. We don't want to spit in any Jew's face. Very important to keep the channel of communication open. On the other hand, how can we say someone who gives Shas, Poiskim, Tzidkut, Chassidus all his life, a Frumi Yid, and he's the equal of an Eichel Nevelot and Treifat? It's difficult to make that analogy. Yeah, I suffer. Lighting candles 2.5 hours after Shabbat began. By the way, I give another example in Washington where I saw that in Maplewood, 1962. When I came to Maplewood, South Orange, I tried to understand how all these Jews left Newark, not one Orthodox synagogue. And tremendous temples, Maplewood, South Orange. We were the home of the biggest Reform and Conservative temples in the United States of America. The rabbis there were presidents of the Reform Rabbinate, the Conservative Rabbinate. And I went to a Reform temple Friday night to see what's going on. No one knew why it was. November, December, we had a minyan with Tzaris. The doctor used to round up people. 2/3 of them drove the shul. We ate. So I told Malcolm, let me see what their strength is. I went and sat in back, no one knew why it was. I couldn't believe it. Friday night, at the service in the temple, the mother of the week lights candles and makes a blessing in English. I couldn't believe my eyes. But what do we do? Okay. The last decade of Rav Hutna's life is not an easy decade. He wants to be in Israel. He has the problem with bells that we spoke about. But more than that problem, you know, you have roots in America. Very hard when you're an older person to strike new roots in a country that is very different from the Israel you left in the 1920s. Right or wrong? Very different. It's like someone comes back to Israel. I came in Aliyah 69, and someone now returns a visit after leaving in 69. I mean, it's a different country. There's no comparison. It's a different world. It's a fascinating, fascinating decade. Again, it lends itself to a Hollywood movie or to an interesting definitive biography. Note, once again, there's no art scroll definitive biography, not of Reb Aaron Kotler and not of Reb Yitzchak Kotler. That says something. I wouldn't miss next week for all the rice in China. Who is Rav Hutna? Who is he? How do you summarize him? I'm going to make an attempt, and I'm not going to say I'm 90% right. I'm going to say I'm 99% right and prove it to you. From there, we come back to the question I alluded to. We're finished with Rav Hutna. I have a few more lectures left this year. I'm going to deal with why you, why it didn't shift gears in the 50s and the 60s. And one of the most interesting combinations ever. Shimon v'Levi Achim. Moi u'Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Shmuel Belkin. Achim. And you will see black and white why the shifting of gears only begins in the 70s. Not like Teira Vadas, not like Chaim Berlin. Why you basically, the same why you went to in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, remained constant. There's a reason why. I'll do that next week. Interesting. Gentlemen, I was asked the following question. Minhag Yisrael, as you know, we say Vayechulu three times Friday night. What happens if you're Shlamazel like Rakefet and you never finish with Shmon Esrei in time to say Vayechulu? By the time you finished up to Magen Avot, or they're done with, they're up to Kaddish already. So what is the Minhag? You try to find someone else to say it together Be'etot. So what if you can't find someone else? So it's la halacha. You say it b'Torah kriyat haTorah. You're reading Torah, you're allowed. You can say Shema 10 times a day. What's the difference? So a Talmud asked me, is there a source that actually says, Rabbi Dr. Mark Wiener, that actually says you look for a second aid? So I have to tell you, the Mishnah Brewer, it doesn't say it openly. It's just implied. But I found the source. So if anyone wants the sources I sent them, you're welcome to it.
I never understood that. There's no innocent
night. So. You're taking it too literally. It doesn't mean formal aidit and abatin, but it's aidit before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Well, but one side of the struggle.
Yeah.
The reason you stand for the first paragraph by Hulu is on giving it.
Yeah, that's why you stand. That's the Litvish Minik. Although some satin litta. Here I have to show you, we're not the only ones with problems. This is from the New York Times. Methodist High Court rejects first openly gay bishop's consecration. You got to read this to believe it, but we're not the only ones suffering. If you saw the latest issue of Karov Elecha, there's a very fascinating article here on who is Mar Shoshani. You should know that this individual's picture you're looking at may have been the greatest Talmud Chacham Lamdan of the last century. Nobody knows who he is. He surfaces in Litta, Palestine, United States, France. I've heard people, the Lubavitcher Rebbe studied with him. Anyone from France, the leading lights of Torah were his students. He studied with Rav Kook. They tried to trace him. It is a fascinating article. When all is said and done, we can't be sure. Was he Perlman from Litta? Was he Shoshani from Morocco? And he had tremendous influence. He's buried. There's even a picture of his tombstone. Here, I have to tell you, I rejoiced. Mashiach Zeit, discovering the unknown years of the Rebbe's early life. The book I showed you, right? This is a whole event. Guess where? Kehilat Jeshurun, 125th East 85th Street. Okay? Remarks by Rabbi Chaim Steinmetz, senior rabbi of Congregation Kehilat Yeshurun, Jeshurun, and Kabotnikim, the authors of there speaking. Wow. I wonder if the Kushnis attended. Interesting. And finally, my student, one of my favorite, this is a student who's a lot more famous than the Rebbe, Mara Smith. Recognize the name? The Magellan Fund, when he went on the front page news in the New York Times. He didn't last here that long, but part of the family is here. Morris is back in the Five Towns quite a few years already. This is Dayenu. Ilu Elinu Lech Yisrael V'lo Shechranu Me Shulton Zarim. Even if we came in Aliyah under the British, Dayenu. Ilu Yatzanu Mishubet Malchut V'lo Kavashnu Etaretz Me'aravim. Dayenu goes on and on with all the miracles God has done for us here. Next Sunday, you'll be here. Vic, you'll be here? Okay, just got to be sure I have some students, because your last Natan, he will be in Meiron. And I only hope his life insurance, travel insurance, is all paid up. before he goes up to Meiron with another 100,000 Jews.
The problem is about the where Trump comes. That's
it. Now, Trump, we can't budge. That we know we can't leave our houses. But Meiron, the attraction, but oh boy, they say it's the biggest crowd ever to gather together in one place. It outdoes the attendance at Birchat Kohanim. They say Birchat Kohanim gets more than Shavuos morning. Shavuos morning is about 50,000. Birchat Kohanim, they say, is between 70 to 80. And Meiron, I'm told, is over 100,000. When I mention these figures, I think of Yankee Stadium. You follow? My mind is so destroyed by baseball. I think of Yankee Stadium. Could you imagine 100,000 Jews coming to the Kever of Shimcha Bar Yochai? I think all of us should chip in and make Natan our representative in Meiron. And being with Palel, we should have Ora v'Simcha, and until we meet again in health and happiness, Das v'Danya.